All right, and welcome back to Midday. I'm Tom Hall. It's Thursday. That means it's theater day, and our intrepid theater critic, Jay Wynn Russick, is joining us with a heck of a case of laryngitis. Judy, how you doing, kid?
Well, I'm going to try to struggle through it, Tom.
That's right. Well, we'll see how that goes. We're going to talk about a theater company here in Baltimore, the Everyman Theater, that's doing a very bad job of managing expectations, because the show they have is called Great Expectations. So that sort of sets the bar pretty high. This is, of course, based on Charles Dickens' famous novel. It's a 500-page book, last time I checked my copy. Lots of characters, lots of plots, subplots. Everyman evidently has six actors, and they do this in two acts. I mean, can they actually do the entire novel? It's six people in two acts?
Well, I have to say these are pretty great expectations that they meet, Tom. As to the book, I have to admit I am not a big Dickens fan. I reread the book before I saw the show again. I had trouble getting through it. So I had really been hoping that I would enjoy the show more than I enjoyed the book, and I did. When I see any kind of adaptation, or really anything on stage, I'm always looking for something that is inherently theatrical, something that is done in a way that couldn't be a movie or couldn't be a TV show. And taking this gigantic novel and doing it with just six actors in a little more than 2 hours on a single set really fills that bill. The playwright is a woman named Gail Child Daly, and she has come up with a very creative adaptation, and it moves very fast. It's kind of the flip side. Do you remember when the Royal Shakespeare Company did Nicholas Nickleby?
Oh, yeah, and 8 hours long.
Right, and it had 36 actors, and so, yeah, this is the flip side of that.
All right, so how does this work? I mean, they must just spend their entire time changing clothes if there's only six of them, right? How do they do it?
Well, they don't do any full, complete costume changes. There's no rack of clothing on stage. They switch bits of costume, kind of hints of costumes, and they change their accents and they change their posture. Drew Kopes, who plays Pip, the main character, is the only actor who plays just one character. It's really Pip's story, so we kind of see what he learns from all the other characters. The other five actors play all the other characters, and they use a good deal of narration. Sometimes the chorus will alternate their speech. Sometimes they speak in unison in the third person. Pip's narration is always in first person. The book is a first-person narrative. So I'm going to give you an example of the way this character changing works. Elizabeth Ann Jernigan is an actress who, in an early scene, switches from being a Christmas guest to a soldier to an evil escaped convict in minutes. And she does this just by putting on a hat or changing her body language without ever leaving the stage. She also plays the young woman that Pip loves, Estella, and she plays the young woman who loves Pip, a different young woman, Biddy. Although in this adaptation, Biddy's love for Pip is pretty much overlooked.
It must be very fun to be in this show. I mean, refresh me.
Very busy.
I mean, refresh my memory about the plot. I remember Pip. Is this the one that has Miss Havisham in it?
Oh, yes. So Pip is a young orphan. He's just 7 years old when the novel begins, and he's being raised by his adult sister and brother-in-law, a blacksmith. The action begins on a dark and stormy night when Pip.
I do remember that.
Yes.
Part.
He encounters an escaped convict in the marshes, and the convict threatens to kill him if he doesn't bring him food and a file so that he can remove his shackles. And the next big incident in Pip's life involves Miss Havisham. She is this rich, eccentric woman who was jilted at the altar and has been wearing her wedding dress and keeping everything set up for the wedding ever since. Pip falls in love with Miss Havisham's adopted daughter, Estella, who has raised to be very cold and very haughty. And then comes the third major incident in Pip's youth. A lawyer named Mr. Jaggers comes and tells Pip that he has a secret benefactor. I brought you a clip from that pivotal scene. This is Bruce Randolph Nelson as Jaggers and Britt Herring as Pip's brother-in-law, the blacksmith.
My name is Jaggers. I'm a lawyer in London. I come as the confidential agent of another with an offer to relieve you of this young fellow.
Pip?
Would you be willing to cancel his indentures for his own good? You'd ask no money for doing so.
Lord forbid I should want anything for not standing in Pip's way.
Good. I'm instructed to communicate to him that he is to come into a handsome property. It is the desire of the holder of this property that he be removed from this present sphere of life and from this place, and be brought up as a gentleman, in a word, a young fellow of great expectation.
It must be good. They're speaking in English accents. You know, anytime you got a British accent, it's real theater. That's Bruce Randolph Nelson and Britt Herring at the Everyman's Theater, Everyman Theater's production of Great Expectations. So how did the five actors do, the ones that have to keep changing roles?
They do surprisingly well, although I have to say the director, Tazewell Thompson, especially at the beginning, has them doing this very stylized acting. Franchelle Stewart-Dorn, who plays Pip's sister and guardian, is just plain mean. And she starts out playing this role as just a relentless harridan. Oddly, she has a pivotal scene of her own, an attack, that's one of the few significant events that's glossed over way too quickly in this adaptation. At times, this exaggerated acting style can make this seem a little bit like a cartoon Great Expectations. I suspect the director was going for a bit of Victorian style. The style is actually leavened by the inclusion of two bits of plays within the play. There's a minor character, a church clerk, who becomes an actor in London. He's played by Gerard Alex Taylor. And these two theatrical interludes, Hamlet and A Christmas Pantomime, are laughably over the top. And they add some comic relief, and they put the overall broad acting kind of into perspective. One of the interesting results, Tom, of this multiple casting is that sometimes the same actor finds himself playing characters who are polar opposites. So, for example, Bruce Nelson, whom we just heard playing Jaggers, who's a solid, upstanding lawyer, also plays Magwitch, the escaped convict that Pip helps in the beginning. And Magwitch has been in and out of jail, in and out of jail, in and out of jail, as he puts it, all his life. So to give you an idea of how deftly this is done, Bruce Nelson wears a long wig no matter what role he's playing. Bruce Nelson, as you may know, is a favorite among Baltimore audiences. And his work in Great Expectations, he's playing nine characters, and this is among his best work. You just heard him playing Jaggers, a smart, educated man of the law. Now let's listen to him as rough, low Magwitch. Here he is with Drew Copus as Pip when they first meet.
You know what a file is?
Yes, sir.
And you know what whittles is?
Yes, sir, food.
You get me a file. And you get me some whittles, and you bring them both to me early tomorrow morning at the battery yonder, or I'll have your heart and liver out. You do it, and you never dare to say a word or make a sign concerning having seen such a person as me. And you shall be let to live.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, sir.
Bruce Randolph Nelson and Drew Copus in Everyman Theater's production of Great Expectations. So to say an actor as good as Bruce Nelson is, this is one of his best roles, that's high praise. I mean, can we expect to have a really good time at Great Expectations?
Yes, absolutely. This is a very clever approach. There have been so many stage versions of Dickens in addition to Nicholas Nickleby, just zillions of versions of Christmas Carol alone, Oliver the Musical, The Mystery of Edwin Drood. But this takes a very unusual approach. The set is designed by a recent NYU grad, Xu Shen Chen, and basically it's Miss Havisham's deteriorating mansion. But with Stephen Kwant's lighting, it also can become this dark, forbidding, overgrown marsh. It's very evocative. Dickens' original readers, as you probably remember, Tom, read this book in installments. It was issued as a serial.
It was a serial, right?
Yes. So every man in this play, right, Gail Child's Daily, just whooshed through this thing in about 2 hours and 15 minutes, and I found it very satisfying.
Terrific. Great Expectations is at the Everyman Theater. It'll be there through the 5th of March. If you come to WIPR.org/midday, we'll give you all the deets. By the way, next week, Judy, instead of a review, we're going to have an interview that you've done with Susan Rose. Who's Susan Rose?
Susan Rose is an award-winning Baltimore-born theater and film producer, and she co-conceived the next show that will be done at the Vagabonds. It's a piece called Motherhood Out Loud, and I think you'll find what she has to say very interesting.
Terrific. The Vagabond Players, that show's there through the 19th of March. All right, we'll feel better, and we'll see you next week. We want to thank Eddie's of Roland Park for providing lunch today. Eddie's is a full-service market with locations on North Charles Street and on Roland Avenue in Roland Park. Their deli features sandwiches and salads with specials each day, all listed on their website at eddiesofrolandpark.com. theatercompany.com. That'll do it for us today. Coming up tomorrow, we had announced that Senator Barbara Mikulski would be my guest. Unfortunately, she is under the weather with a nasty case of laryngitis, something that Judy Russett can relate to. So we've had to reschedule Senator Mikulski's appearance for early next month. But there is, however, plenty to talk about in our regular Friday segment, the Midday News Wrap, which tomorrow will feature a panel that includes former Baltimore Mayor Stephanie Rawlings Blake and Liz Copeland, the founder of the Urban Conservative Project. Hope you can join us tomorrow for Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Very glad you're with us today. Thanks so much. Have a great one.